I just want to take a minute to introduce you to the man in the story. I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine what it would be like to lose my sight. And yet, even worse in a sense, I can't imagine what it would have been like to have never, ever seen. To have never seen a countryside, to have never seen a child, to have never seen people having fun or laughing. I can't imagine how isolating and alienating it would have been for the man in the story. Now, we know that in our society, people who are born blind have many challenges, but are still, praise God, given some help and some opportunities. These opportunities, this help, would not have been afforded to this man. This man, the Bible says, was a beggar. That means every day, day in and day out, he would have gone to the same place. He would have been a familiar sight for those who were passing, possibly on the way to the temple to worship. Every day he would have called out for help. Every day he would have had one hope, one expectation, and that would be that enough people would give him enough loose change so he could buy enough food to fill his hungry tum. And I want to look at this man's story, but look and see it from four different perspectives. And I want to see how the disciples just saw him as an opportunity for a discussion. They saw his predicament as something to debate. Now, these disciples had been with Jesus for a few months, 12 blokes who had seen what Jesus did and heard what Jesus said. They had the opportunity to witness firsthand Jesus' reactions and responses to different situations. But as they are walking by, they turned to Jesus and they asked a question. And they said, "Jesus, who sinned? Who screwed up? Who's done the wrong thing? Is it this man or is it his parents?" Now, this man was in a bad enough place as it was, but now he must have felt somehow in a worse place. Because rather than feeling sad and sorry for him, the disciples just wanted to see if it was worth blaming him. But you know, as I read this story, sometimes I realise that I'm a bit like those disciples. I can judge people. I can judge people because of the situation in which they find themselves without not fully understanding the reason why. And sometimes, even when I'm right in the things that I say, I know that my heart can be wrong. I remember very many years ago, I'd just moved into church leadership. I was part of an eldership team, and our pastor, who we love dearly, said to me this. He said, "You know, Gareth, sometimes when you are right, you can cease to be righteous." And I felt convicted because I knew that he was correct in what he said, that sometimes we have good arguments, but actually our hearts need to be aligned with the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And so Jesus said to his friends, his followers, his disciples, "It's neither this man nor his parents who have sinned, but he was born blind that God might be glorified." Now, let's just press pause for a minute. Is Jesus saying that this man had never done any wrong or his parents had never sinned? I don't believe that Jesus is saying that. Because we know this, that we all do wrong and we all fall short of God's glory. And we know that all pain and sorrow and suffering in the world is a consequence of wrong. War is a consequence of hatred. But even natural disaster comes because creation itself is cursed because of the sinfulness of humanity. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that his blindness, this specific suffering, can't be attributed to any specific sin. But even in this situation, even in this sadness and sorrow, what we find is, although the disciples saw a discussion. Jesus saw an opportunity. Jesus saw an opportunity, firstly, to make known who he was. And so do you remember what we heard in the story? Jesus spat on the ground. Anyone ever got told off by the mum or dad for spitting? I used to say they do it on Match of the Day. My mum said, but you don't, and you're not on Match of the Day. Jesus spat on the ground. Why did Jesus spit on the ground? Why did Jesus make some mud? And why did Jesus put it on the man's eyes? What a really strange thing for Jesus to do. Well, first of all, we find in the Bible before Jesus was born, in the Old Testament, we find that these prophets say that when the promised one, the Messiah, came, that he would heal the eyes of the blind. And so we find that Jesus, right at the beginning of his ministry, says, I am the one that was spoken about all these years ago. I've come that the blind would see. But why did Jesus spit on the ground? Why did he make mud? And why did he place it on the man's eyes? I think Jesus is saying this. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. Because if you go way, 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 way back in time in the Bible, you find that God created humanity out of the dust of the ground. And here we find that Jesus is saying, I'm not just a healer. Jesus is saying, I'm not just the one that God has sent. Jesus is saying, I am the one who is God, the one who is divine. And I think that Jesus is wanting to do that, to show something to us. But for this man, he's wanting to show not just who he is, but what God thinks and how God feels. He's showing love. He's showing grace. He's revealing God's power. And as we read through John's Gospel, we find time and again, Jesus just turns a problem into an opportunity. When the wine ran out at a wedding, he turned the water into wine. When he's asking a lady by a well to draw him some water, he speaks of himself as living water. Jesus is always looking around himself, but Jesus is always looking up to heaven and just asking the Father, what is it I can do and what is it I should say? And I want to suggest that for you and me, we have these opportunities day by day and week by week, just to step in to situations and circumstances and make God's love known. So, the disciples saw a reason for a discussion. Jesus saw an opportunity, but these religious leaders, they saw a real big problem. Can I ask a question? Does anybody find the Bible funny when you read it? Do you ever laugh out loud? I do. There's things in the Bible that I think are just hilarious. I like the fact that God speaks through a donkey and has a conversation with somebody. That makes me chuckle. I like the fact that Elijah on Mount Carmel, he starts to mock these prophets of Baal. And he says, I'm talking to my God, but where's yours? Is he on the toilet? I think that's funny. I think it's funny that Paul preached and preached and preached so long that somebody fell out of the window. They had to raise him from the dead, but it always makes me feel a lot better about the length of time that I preach. But I think this is one of the funniest situations in the Bible. Because there's a man who's blind, who's never seen, and Jesus heals him. And then we find that his neighbours turn up and they say, are you this fella? No, 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 he can't be. Because that fella was one who was blind. And the man is saying, hello, I'm the one. And then the religious leaders turn up and they say, so you were blind and now you see, that's great. When did this happen? Today? Today is a religious day. You can't be healed on a religious day. And so they bring his parents in. And his parents are a bit afraid and they don't want to nail their colours to the mast. So they say, ask him yourself. We don't want to get into bother. Ask him yourself. He's old enough. He can speak. And eventually the religious leaders bring the man a second time and say, come on. And he says, look, I don't want to go into detail, but hello, I was blind, but now I can see. These religious leaders saw a problem. And sometimes religious leaders see problems when God works by his Spirit. Because sometimes they say, we want God to work, but not like this. Sometimes they say, we want God to work, not like that. But when Jesus speaks of the Spirit, he says the Spirit comes like wind. And you don't know where he comes from. And you don't know necessarily where he's going to, but you can see what it is that he's doing. And I want to say that as a church, we don't want to align ourselves with these religious leaders who say, Lord, come and move in power, but do it like this and not like that. As a church, we just want to say, Lord, come and move in power. And Lord, whether it's our preferred style or not, we don't know. And if it's our preferred style or not, we don't care. But Lord, would you come and move in power? And so finally, the last thing we want to look at is the man. Hello. The man. So can I just say, this is what I love about All Age Worship. I think it's great. There's what? Now you've gone quiet. Okay, I'm getting sidetracked here. There's a baby in the room. The man saw a saviour. You see, this man had a problem. And the problem was, he was blind. And the problem he had determined his very identity, determined his very life, past, present, and future. He had a problem, but there was an answer. And the answer came through grace. The answer came in mercy. The answer was God's power made known to him. But Jesus called him to collaborate. Jesus called him to cooperate. Jesus called him to act in obedience. Jesus said, go to the pool and wash. And when you wash, you will see. And I want you to imagine this man who had never seen a mountain, who had never seen a baby, who had never seen anybody smile or laugh. Set his eyes on who? Not just a mysterious traveller, not just a rabbinic teacher. When the man's eyes were opened, he saw his saviour. And the truth is this, that we have a problem, and it's a problem that we cannot solve. And it comes as a consequence of sin. It comes as a consequence of turning our back on God, rebelling against him. And there is only one solution. And it's not found in consumerism or materialism or that ism or that philosophy. It's not found just in hard work. It's found in Christ, because Jesus comes to do what we can't. He comes to reconcile us to Almighty God, but he calls us to cooperate, to collaborate in obedience, to receive him as Lord and Saviour. And this morning, if God opens your eyes, not physically but spiritually, you will see Jesus, and you won't see him as an option. You won't see him as another teacher. You won't hear him just as a swear word. You will see Jesus, and you will see him as your friend. You will see him as your Lord. You will see him like the man saw him, as your Saviour. And so we read that story. And we heard all of those different voices. And we've looked at that story, and we've seen that people see from different perspectives, with different optics. And yet, this man who met Jesus, his life was changed. His life was transformed. He was never, ever the same again, because as his eyes were opened, he saw the Saviour. And this morning, it may be that you've never seen Jesus. And this morning, what Jesus in his grace and his mercy and his love and his power, what he wants to do is open your eyes, not physically, but spiritually, that you would know his forgiveness, that you would know his grace, that you would know his love, and that your life, like this man's life, would be transformed forever.